Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to Fresh Encounter, the radio ministry of Lifelong Anointing Church. Our mission as a church is to equip the body of Christ to increase in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and with men. We're glad that you joined us for this edition of the broadcast. It is our prayer that this broadcast will be a blessing to you. Here now is Pastor Otuno with today's message.
There is a difference between living by your own wisdom, by your own understanding, and then living by this wisdom and the understanding of the Almighty God. We're focusing our attention on wisdom beyond common sense living. Someone once says that if you live by common sense, you will get common results. And if you get common results, you will end up as a common man. Live by common sense, you get common results. Common results produce common men. We need extraordinary wisdom to get extraordinary results that will give us the extraordinary life that will make us extraordinary women and men of God. So please understand that it takes the wisdom of God to be able to live at the level that you desire. That particular desire at the back of your mind, that particular aspiration that you are looking for, it takes the wisdom of the Almighty God to move you in that level. So we're going to begin this wisdom series, and we'll be talking about going beyond the common sense living. What your brain can tell you, what learning can tell you, what your exposures can tell you. We'll be talking about living beyond the ordinary sensory level. We'll be talking about living beyond where every other person that you know, the level at which they live, you want to live beyond that particular level. You want to operate at a higher level, operating at a level that is beyond the ordinary. And as you all know, the desire of the Almighty God for His children is that they live an extraordinary life. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And I can assure you, the expected end of the Almighty God is not the kind of expectation that you have for yourself. It's always better. It's always glorious. It's always more than what you can even imagine. That's why the Bible tells us that He said it has not even entered into the heart of man the things that God has purposed for His own people. So please understand, God has a higher ideal, a higher desire for His own people. But as much as God wants for you to have an extraordinary life, as much as God wants you to have an outstanding life of exploit, it just doesn't happen on its own. You don't wake up one day because you're a child of God, all of a sudden you become a millionaire. If that is the case, every millionaire, every billionaire in this country, they will be Christians. But that's not the case. Some of them don't even know Christ. So you must understand, there are two things about the gospel that many of us kind of fail to understand. There is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us who are Christians, born again, going to heaven, we understand the person of our Lord Jesus Christ because that is what prepares us for heaven. That is what prepares our spiritual life. That is what awakens our dead soul. It is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ that puts you on the path of salvation, on the path to glory. But the principles of our Lord Jesus Christ is what prepares you for here and to live a successful life here. You don't have to be a Christian to understand the principles of the Bible. You don't have to be a Christian to understand and to live by the principles of Christ. A lot of unbelievers do. They believe in hard work. They believe in diligence. They believe in savings. They believe in doing what they need to do, living within their means. And if you follow those basic principles, results start happening. So the fact that you are born again doesn't make you rich. Please understand that. The fact that God desires the best for you doesn't mean it's going to happen. You must understand the difference between the person and the principles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about the principles of the scripture. Now, for you to get the best, the beauty of the Christian faith is that you are able to combine both of them. You know the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is secured, you have a hope of eternity, and at the same time, you understand the principle of the scripture. So what happened? The power of the Almighty God that makes you to be ready for heaven now works in your present life. It makes you untouchable. It makes you operate at a higher level. The things that other people are dealing with, you are not dealing with because you have been able to combine the best of both worlds. So as I was saying, as much as God wants us to have this extraordinary life, as much as God wants us to live an outstanding life of exploit, it does not just happen just because you are a believer. It takes the wisdom of God to live beyond common sense. It takes the wisdom of the Almighty God to operate at the level that we begin to see extraordinary exploits in our life. It takes the wisdom of the Almighty God to accomplish outstanding results in our lives. It takes that particular wisdom. And so in Daniel chapter 1, we'll see an example of somebody who lived a life based on the wisdom of the Almighty God. Daniel chapter 1, reading from verse number 1, the Bible tells us, in the 30th of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem to besiege it. And the Lord gave Joachim, king of Judah, unto his hands, and some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Asphanaz, the master of his eunuch, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and the literatures of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them daily provisions of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If you skip over to verse number 17, the Bible tells us, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king has said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuch brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none were found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. In all matter of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them to be 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. In other words, the Bible is telling us that because the Lord gave Daniel and his friends wisdom, at the end of 3 years of training, the Bible tells us that the wisdom of the Almighty God set Daniel and his friends apart from the rest of the crew. All the people that were gathered together, because of the wisdom of the Almighty God upon this particular four, they were miles apart, 10 times better. Not only that, the wisdom of the Almighty God not only set them apart, the wisdom of the Almighty God made them 10 times better than their contemporaries. They became first among equals. Not only that, the wisdom of the Almighty God not only set them apart, made them better, but the wisdom of the Almighty God made them extraordinary. The Bible says that there was nobody within the realm among all the astrologers and all the counselors that could be compared with these four. What was the difference? The wisdom of the Almighty God. They were able to accomplish extraordinary success in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar because of the wisdom of the Almighty God. What is this thing called wisdom? Many of us have defined wisdom as the application of knowledge. That's the basic definition of wisdom. The application of knowledge. The engagement and the use of the knowledge of what we have. Applying what we know. That's basically wisdom. You know, it's good not to spend the money that you don't have. When you don't spend the money that you don't have, you are called a wise guy. Wise financial wisdom. That's basically what it is. Application of knowledge. But the Bible has a different twist to the definition of wisdom. And so what is the definition of wisdom according to the scripture? In the book of Job, reading from verse number 28, and to the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So it's not just the application of knowledge. It's not just taking what you know and putting it into practice. No, that's good. But the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, according to the Bible. And to depart from evil is understanding. So if you see a man who says he's wiser, but he does not fear the Lord, he's not departing from evil, he might have all the resources of the world, but the Bible considers him to be what? A fool. So wisdom, according to the Bible, is the fear of the Lord, and departing from evil is understanding. So you see, from Job, we are told that wisdom is not just application of knowledge. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Which means that when you respect the Lord, you are considered to be wise. When you are in awe and you reverence the Almighty God, it means that you are wise. When you are in submission and obedience to the Lord, it means that you are wise. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But our Lord Jesus Christ now took the definition of wisdom a step further. In Matthew chapter 7, if you start reading from verse number 24, the Bible tells us that. It says, therefore, whosoever hears this saying of mine and dust them. I will liken him to be what? A wise man. Which means, you hear what the Bible says, and you don't do it. The Bible considers it to be what? A foolish man. If you go down, even in verse number 25, it tells you. It's not me saying it now. But it's saying that if you hear the word of God, and you do it, the Bible regards you to be what? A wise man. Jesus is saying, wisdom is therefore not just fearing God. Wisdom is hearing what God has to say, and then doing it. God says, stand up, you stand up. God says, sit down, you sit down. He says, turn around, you turn around. Arguing with the Almighty God does not produce the result that you're looking for. It is obedience to God that is considered to be wisdom. So wisdom, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, is simple obedience to the instruction that God gives you. And that's why the Bible tells us something very interesting. Psalm number 14. If you read from verse number 1, the psalmist says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. In other words, as soon as you make that pronouncement, there is no God, that it was the atom that hit each other and then you create atomic bomb and then whatever happened, you have the organic soup and then the ape became man. When you start thinking like that, the Bible calls you what? A fool. I didn't say so. That's what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So you see, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Not only that, wisdom is the recognition and the respect of the Almighty God. Not only that, wisdom is hearing and doing what God has asked you to do. Wisdom is obedience to the word of God. If somebody tell you there is an investment that will produce spectacular results, and to convince you that that investment is sure, that person took his own son and put him on the line. And say, okay, this is my own assurance to tell you that this business will never fail. I'm putting my son as a guarantee. Does it make sense to listen to that kind of person? Because he's sure. He knows that that thing is true. Because of his own assurance and his own confidence in that business, he's wagering his son to tell you that this thing can never fail. I love my son. I'm using my son as a guarantee that this thing will never fail. That's exactly what God did. When he said, if you believe in him, you will never perish. He gave you his only begotten son. If you don't listen to that person, what do you consider yourself to be? But the Bible does not consider that person to be a very wise man. If he's telling you, this thing is so sure, I'm giving you my son, and you still say you don't want to believe, more power to you. But I want you to understand that there are different kinds of wisdom. And the Bible makes it very clear to us. James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, if you start reading from verse number 13, the Bible tells us the different kind of wisdom that we see in this world. The first one says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not come from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's three different kind of wisdom that have been identified for you there. He said, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and evil things are there. But the wisdom that comes from above, that's the fourth kind of wisdom there. The wisdom that comes from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, from this passage of scripture, you see four different kinds of wisdom that is available to us as humans. The first one you see is what is called the earthly or the natural wisdom. Is that this wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly. So there is an earthly wisdom, the wisdom that comes with all men. Nobody wakes up one day and teach their son and say, son, this is where you put food. You put it in your mouth, not in your ears. Nobody does that. It comes with you. As soon as you are born with it. For human, there are some natural things that come with you. As soon as you land, bam, they come with you. That's natural wisdom. Number two is the intellectual wisdom. The Bible says that this does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual. In other words, it's a wisdom that you learn by using your senses. It is the learning that is developed through education, through your studies. That is the wisdom you get from learning. The one you pick up from books. The one you go to school to go and acquire. Those are the intellectual kind of wisdom. The third one is the demonic one. In America, they say there is no devil. I pity them because where I come from, there is a devil. He doesn't wear suits. He doesn't wear tie. He's very, very nasty. It will mess you up. If you open the door, it will come in. It will not only come, it will bring his friends and his family, and they will mess up your life. The devil is real, and that's why when you hear us pray, we pray as if we are addressing an entity. The Bible said that we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. It said we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against rulers of darkness in this world. If it does not exist, it will not be in the Bible. So please understand, there is satanic wisdom where you can see somebody materialize something physical into the life of another person. That is another story for another day. But there is what is called the natural wisdom. There is what is called the intellectual wisdom. There is what is called the satanic wisdom. And then finally, there is what is called the divine wisdom, which is the one that comes from God. Verse number 17 of James chapter 3 tells us the wisdom that is from above. Then he went on to describe it. It is pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle, willing to yield. It's full of mercy, full of good fruit. That is the wisdom of the Almighty God. So it is this divine wisdom that produces this extraordinary life that we have been talking about. It is this divine wisdom that empowers you to accomplish all that God has set in store for you. We see the example of this divine wisdom in operation in the lives of so many people. Genesis chapter 41. If you start reading from verse number 38, the Bible tells us, Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the spirit, the wisdom of God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all these things, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. That is divine wisdom in operation. The wisdom of the Almighty God was what was in operation in the life of Joseph that made him to become the prime minister of Egypt. Solomon was also another individual that exhibited this wisdom of the Almighty God. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, God gave Solomon wisdom, exceeding great understanding, and the largeness of heart, like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. That is the embodiment of wisdom. God Almighty blessed him with it. That's what wisdom of God does. And then finally, in Daniel chapter 1, reading from verse number 17, the Bible says, for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So you see, divine wisdom empowers the life of an individual for extraordinary living. When you get the wisdom of God, it has a way of transforming your life. It has a way of changing the way you see things. It has a way of changing the way you live your life. People begin to notice the difference. The question is, why is divine wisdom necessary for the life that you are looking for? That desire that you have for your family, the desire that you have for your wife, the desire that you have for your job, the desire that you have for your future. Why is divine wisdom necessary for it? Divine wisdom is necessary for it because divine wisdom sees and creates solution. That's why. Look at Job 28. In verse number 10, the Bible says, he cut out channels in the rock. If you read the whole of Job 28, he's talking about the wisdom of the Almighty God. And in verse number 10 of that Job 28, he said, wisdom cuts out channels in the rock. His eye sees every precious thing. In other words, wisdom sees and creates solutions to life problems. Have you ever met somebody who, when you are talking to that person, they seem to have all the answers? You're talking to them, and whatever you think is so impossible, by the time they finish the analysis for you, the Lord gives them divine insight that they are able to break down what you're looking at, and they give you answer. You are able to see the solution of the problem. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom sees and creates solution. That's why wisdom is necessary. Number two, wisdom overcomes and overturns difficulty. Many of us are so problem-focused that when an issue happens, you are only seeing the problem. You're not seeing the way out. And that is why when they ask them to start a business, they say, many people did it and they failed. They will give you all the examples of why it is impossible to do something. But they never see the solution. They never see a way out of it. But when you have access to the wisdom of God, it overcomes and it overturns difficult situations. Look at verse number 9. He said, he puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountain at its roots. Mountain represents problem in the scripture. And so wisdom is able to put his hand and overturn whatever problem that you have going on in our lives. Number three, why is wisdom necessary? Wisdom is necessary because wisdom is able to defy death and hell. Look at verse number 22 of that Job 28. He said, destruction and death says, we have heard a report about it with our ears. In other words, they fear the wisdom of God. And this is actually talking about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is called the wisdom of God. So wisdom has the ability to nullify and to destroy the power of hell and death. And that is why Jesus said that anyone who is with him, though he dies, shall live. And if you are alive, you will never die. Because the wisdom of God is able to break down and destroy the power of death and hell over your life. And most importantly, number four, wisdom is necessary because wisdom has the ability to enthrone. Divine wisdom enthrones. Divine wisdom lifts you up. Divine wisdom changes your level. You cannot encounter the wisdom of God and remain on the same level. It's not possible. There is no way you will have access to all the revelations of heaven and be operating at the same level. It's not possible. So wisdom establishes, wisdom enthrones. Proverbs 8:14 tells us, by me kings reign and rule, and rulers decree justice. By wisdom, that's how it happens. Wisdom also is necessary because it produces and it preserves. When you have the wisdom to create ideas, you have wisdom to generate solution. That same wisdom that is able to generate solution is the same wisdom that is able to preserve. Why do many people fail? Why do many people who win the lottery, why do they go poor? The reason is very simple. They have not developed the discipline to preserve resources. They live anyhow. They spend beyond their means. And so when the money comes, their expenses will grow. And if you have not learned the discipline of how to preserve money, it's only a question of time. It will go away. But wisdom is necessary because wisdom gives you the understanding of how to produce and how to keep. How to produce and how to preserve. That's what wisdom does for you. And then finally, number six, wisdom is necessary for extraordinary living because wisdom builds an enduring success. Because you begin to learn how to do certain things. And because you've already learned how to do it, even if when that thing is taken away, you know how to reproduce it. So it's not a question of what you have physically. It's a question of what you have up here. Wisdom has a way of producing and building enduring success. Seeing the necessity of wisdom, the question then is, what is the impact of wisdom in the life of the individual that has it? When wisdom is operating in your life, what do people see? Look at Psalm 105. Reading from verse number 20, the Bible said, the king sent and loosed him, even the rulers of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and rulers of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. What are we talking about? The psalmist is talking about the same guy that we talked about in Genesis. He's talking about Joseph. Go back and read it again. From verse number 20, he said, the king sent and loosed him, even the rulers of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord over his house and rulers over all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. We are saying that when wisdom comes into your life, the impact of that wisdom, number one, is that it frees and liberates you. When other people are all walked up, when the wisdom of God is operating in your life, there's this freedom and liberty that happens. Because you are able to see what others are not seeing. You are able to see the solution, even when other people are seeing the problem. You are able to move at ease because you know what God has done. Why do you think Jesus was able to sleep in the middle of the storm? Because Jesus knew, number one, I'm going to die on the cross. The storm is not the cross. Today is not the day of my death. He knew that. Because he knows that, he's able to sleep. Wisdom gives you access to information that others don't see. And it has a way of freeing and liberating you. Number two, the impact of wisdom in the life of the people who possess it is that it empowers and it promotes them. You are so confident. When you are convinced that God is behind you, when you are convinced that you know the wisdom of the Almighty behind you, it has a way of empowering you. It has a way of strengthening you. It has a way of promoting you. You are able to make a declaration and nobody is able to challenge you. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom also puts you in command and you see the result in the life of the people. When you possess the wisdom of God, the impact is that it puts you in command of situation. It puts you in command of circumstances. It puts you in command of every situation that the enemy might want to throw on your way. Now, if wisdom has so much benefit, how do you access it? How do you access the wisdom of the Almighty God? Psalm 25, reading from verse number 14. How do you access the wisdom of God? The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. What is the Bible saying? You want to access the wisdom of God. You want to access the secret things of the Almighty God. You want to access the information that is not readily available to everybody. The Bible says that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. In other words, the wisdom of the Almighty God is only accessed by those who fear God, who respect him, who reverence him, who are in awe of the Almighty God. Access to divine wisdom is by the fear of the Almighty God. If you don't fear God, forget it. If you just take God for granted, forget it. If you are the counselor of the Almighty God, forget it. If you know better than the Almighty God, forget it. If you are saying, God, this is the 21st century, man, you need to update your thinking. If that is your relationship with God, forget it. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Number two, how do you access the wisdom of the Almighty God? You access the wisdom of the Almighty God by the Word of God. Look at Psalm 19, verse 7. Say, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, which is the Word of God, is sure, making wise the simple. If you read the Word of God and you just follow the instruction, you do things and people will wonder, how do you come to this kind of solution? Because the testimony of the Almighty God is sure and it makes wise the simple. How do you access the divine wisdom of God? You access the divine wisdom of God through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you start reading from verse number 9, the Bible says that as it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But look at verse number 10. It says, but He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. In other words, you begin to see the things that God has prepared, the things that God wants to accomplish, the things that God has in store for you. You see them only by the revelation of the Spirit of the Almighty God. How does the wisdom of God enhance your life? I've said it before, it gives you access to divine secrets. It gives you supernatural insights. It gives you supernatural know-how. And it also gives you supernatural understanding. It gives you supernatural inspiration. It gives you access to the deep things of God. My brothers and sisters, the wisdom of the Almighty God is available for you, is available for me. The only thing is that, are you willing? Are you hungry enough for that thing that the Lord Almighty has in store for His own people? Do you really desire the touch of heaven upon your life? Because that is where it is. The Bible says that anyone who thirsts, He said, their thirst shall be quenched. In other words, when you seek Him, you will find. If you knock, it shall be opened unto you. But there has to be that particular desire at the back of your mind. Do you desire the wisdom of the Almighty God? Do you want to live at the level that the Almighty God wants for you? Look at Job 32. He said, I said, age should speak, and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. When the Spirit of the Almighty God, it brings inspiration to you, and then you begin to see that the things that others are not thinking about, all of a sudden wells up in your spirit. Ideas that are not open to other people, all of a sudden comes up in your spirit. Why? Because you have been inspired by the Spirit of God. And then finally, how do you access the wisdom of God? You access the wisdom of God by the impartation of the Spirit of God. In other words, there is a possibility that you can lay hands upon an individual and that person receives a bit of wisdom. That is what happened to Joshua. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, it says Moses laid hands on Joshua. And from that day, the wisdom of the Almighty God fell upon Joshua. And then Joshua, everybody began to listen to what Joshua had to say. The point you are making is that you access the wisdom of God by impartation. You access the wisdom of God by inspiration. You access the wisdom of God by revelation. You access the wisdom of God by the Word of God. You access the wisdom of God by the fear of God. That's how you do it. Any other way you try to do it, by copying other people, reading other people's material, staying under the anointing, if those things are not there, you will have what it looks like, but it will not be the wisdom of the Almighty God.
Thank you very much for listening to our program today. We invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for our Sunday worship service at 2711 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, Tennessee. We also host Bible study and prayer meetings every Friday at 7 p.m. Visit us online at www.lifelonganointing.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Join us next time for another edition of Fresh Encounter. On behalf of Lifelong Anointing Church, we thank you for listening.